everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune, Pastor Dusty White, and Chris Hemmelman of Coram Deo Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're jumping back into our conversation on the seven deadly sins, and we're talking specifically about wrath.
We've taken a few weeks off to tackle some cultural issues, and back into the seven deadly sins now. And what is wrath? Well, let's be clear that when we talk about wrath, we're talking about expressions of anger that are sinful. So we need to differentiate between the emotion of anger and the sin of wrath.
When I kick my car tire when Nebraska loses on a Saturday, does that count as wrath?
Probably so. There's a lot of that kind of wrath in our state. The emotion of anger is not sinful. In fact, it's crucial to our humanity, and we'll go deeper into that in a few minutes. So feeling anger is not the problem. Anger is an emotion that we ought to be able to feel, and if we can't feel, there's probably a deeper problem. What we do with that emotion is oftentimes is where we cross the line into wrath. So wrath can look like verbal anger. It can look like physical violence. It can even look like just a deep inner resentment and hatred of another person, willing someone else's demise, viewing them with malice. All of these things are manifestations of the sin of wrath, which is different than the emotion of anger. And so it's hard for us to sort of draw that distinction, but it's very important to what we're talking about.
So there's definitely a distinction there, but there is a slippery slope from anger to wrath that moves pretty quickly.
It does. Let me read you. There's a book that's been really helpful to me, Chip Dodd's book, Voice of the Heart. The premise of this book is that emotions are a window into our soul, that the emotions are just sort of the dashboard light that goes off on your dashboard to say, hey, something's going on in your soul. What is it? And so he says, this is actually a really fascinating thesis. He says there are only 8 emotions. Now, I don't know, the counselors who are listening might disagree and they might think this guy's, you know, full of it. But he says, hey, here's the deal. I can help you simplify because there are actually only 8 feelings: hurt, loneliness, sadness, anger, fear, shame, guilt, and gladness. So our goal here isn't to evaluate his thesis, but I'm just saying he sees anger as one of 8 feelings that are sort of a revelation of things that are going on in our souls. Let me read a couple excerpts. In truth, anger is probably the most important feeling we experience because it is the first step to authentic living. It shows our yearning and hunger for life. Anger is the energy of desire. It shows us what we care about. Authentic anger is a caring feeling telling us that something matters. It exposes what we value and expresses our willingness to do what is required to reach that value. It allows us to stay with our values, take sides, and even die for what we believe in. Anger is the energy that exposes our choices and truths. It reveals what matters to us. So I think he's right there to say, like, when people get angry, at least you can tell, man, something deeply matters to you.
Well,
right,
you just
now
sparked right there.
Yeah. You're upset deeply about something, and so something just got crossed, or some value that you have got provoked. That's better than just the person who never feels that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people like that, right? Hollow people, half dead people. But they would probably say, well, at least I don't struggle with anger, right? What would you say to that?
I would say, well, no, anger isn't something that's bad. It's something that's good that can be used, that can be used negatively. It can become the sin of wrath, but anger, the emotion of anger, is not itself sin. We know that because God feels wrath and because the Bible says in Ephesians, be angry, yet do not sin. So it is possible to be angry, yet do not sin. That's our biblical clue that anger is an emotion that God intends us to feel, created us to feel. And if we are unable to feel it, something is amiss in our souls.
It seems in our culture, and I'm just throwing this out, so I'm not making a definitive statement, but it seems that wrathful expressions of anger have been given a wider berth largely through social media, blogs, so largely through the written word expressions of verbal wrath.
You can say whatever you want on Facebook, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
say whatever you want and log out.
Yeah. So there's this sense where even in the sense of like authenticity, this makes me mad. And so I'm going to rage at other people that are doing things that I think are wrong or oppressive or whatever it may be. And so it seems that it's wrath in some ways is almost culturally acceptable. Now, not necessarily physical violence, but the verbal forms. And so I wonder even for the church, if in some ways we've kind of got caught up in that just for the sake of authenticity. Hey, I'm angry, so I'm going to express it.
Yeah, at least I'm being honest. At least I'm being honest, right?
Well, there's an interesting balancing act there because I think we do, if we're asking the question, what does redemptive community look like, right? Redemptive community needs to look like your anger and even your sins of wrath don't push me away. I enter in with you. And so I think there's this interesting balance there, Chris, of I don't want to say, therefore, wrath is okay. Let's not worry about it. But I do want to say there needs to be some capacity to enter into expressions of wrath and say, okay, well, I'm gonna go there. Let me enter into that with you. And that's something you can't do over Facebook. It has to happen in real community, actual relationships.
So how would you, within community, counseling those who feel legitimate anger, but their expressions are always coming out in sinful, wrathful ways? How do you walk through somebody to process righteous anger to come out in a mature, godly way?
Well, isn't that the question? Therefore, great question, Chris. Let me take a stab at it. First, I want to legitimize the reality of the emotion of anger. I just want to say, man, if someone's angry, I like that. Because Chip Dodd says, angry people can be known because of their unwillingness to hide. So there's something I like about anger because at least it lets me know who you are and what you care about. And so in a sense, you're inviting me into knowing you. But then I want to try to help them process when that emotion of anger begins to cross into the willing response of wrath. So if you think about the human person, we'd sometimes use the category of mind, will, and emotions, right? Or head, heart, hands sometimes is language that we've used. But it's there's an intellectual component to who I am, there's an emotional component to who I am, and there's a volitional component to who I am. Wrath is when the emotion of anger gets expressed volitionally. So now I'm willing my anger to have a certain expression or a certain direction. It might be I'm lashing out at someone. It might be I'm harboring that anger and allowing it to breed bitterness and resentment in my soul. But the willing response to anger is the problem. That's what leads to the sin of wrath. And so part of what we have to do in redemptive community is to help people see the difference between the emotion of anger and the willful response of wrath and help them begin to differentiate. Okay, so I feel angry. What am I doing with that anger? How am I willing that in a direction? Even if it's just sort of a seething resentment, that's still willful, right? Like all the people you know who are resentful, there are people who just will resentment and hostility toward others. And in a sense, that becomes part of their identity. They define themselves by, you know, sort of the people that they resent or have issues with or problems with. And so that's the opposite of forgiveness. So I think that's one starting point is just to differentiate emotion versus will and help people start to ask, okay, what willful things am I doing with my anger that begin to lead me in the direction of sin?
Yeah. And I think it's important to ask the question of what happens when I'm angry. So when I have the emotion of anger, what's actually happening? What's coming out of me? Is it fits of rage? Because Paul talks about how that's just unacceptable, right? But then you see him in the very same book of Galatians be angry, and commentators would even say he's definitely angry when he says he wishes that those people would emasculate themselves because they're confusing law and grace. So he's definitely frustrated, angry in a righteous way because they're getting grace wrong and they're getting the law wrong. Mm-hmm. But then later on says, but yeah, that's also a deed of the flesh. You have to put away fits of anger. So I think it's important for us to always be asking, what happens? What's coming out of me in my anger? Is it righteous? Is it unrighteous? And how do I know? Because if there's relational turmoil in the wake of my entire existence, well, that's just not going to go well for me. the rest of my life.
And this is one of the beautiful things about the sin of wrath as a differentiator from the emotion of anger, is because it allows me to, I think there's a need for us to, I think for a long time I felt guilty about feeling anger. And I think Christians in general feel like, well, anger is it's a negative emotion. We don't experience it as a positive emotion. We experience it as a negative emotion. And for that reason, we always sort of want to say, well, gosh, if I'm angry, something's wrong. Well, not necessarily. Maybe I'm angry, and that's, again, just a dashboard light or a window into, well, that means something's going on in my soul. What should I do with that? How should I begin to process? How do I begin to step back from that emotion of anger and ask, okay, what's up inside me? What's making me feel this way? So I think there's there's first of all the dealing with whatever behavior is present, the expression of wrath, which might need to just be dealt with. And then there's the asking the question, as you're saying, Dusty, why am I feeling anger? What does that reveal about what's going on inside me? But the beautiful thing about the deadly sin of wrath is that it is a visible sin. And so the reason it's something that needs to be repented of is, I think sometimes we can get lost in our heads asking, well, gosh, how do I deal with my anger? Well, look, first of all, however your anger is manifesting itself, that needs to be dealt with. That's what the sin of wrath is. So some guys are violent with their kids. Some women are just really relentless with their tongues. Some people seethe in inner resentment. All of those expressions of the sin of wrath, just we need to say, okay, those are wrong. So those need to be repented of. Now, is there deeper work that needs to be done in your soul? Probably. But start by not lashing out with your tongue, not getting violent with your family. That's the starting point. So like I think about when we deal with men who have abusive tendencies, the first boundary we set is, okay, you may not touch physically in a violent way your wife or kids. So if that ever happens, there's a zero tolerance policy for that. Now, let's also deal with what else is going on in your soul that makes that expression of wrath present. But that's the starting point. That's not okay. And so that's what I like about the sin of wrath, is it's very clear. It's evident. Mm-hmm. It's evident. And therefore, it gives us a clear starting point to say, okay, let's just deal with the behaviors and let's work backwards.
Another distinction that may be helpful is between proper expressions of anger that are redemptive and wrath, which is always destructive. I mean, wrath is one of those sins that is going to leave a destructive path in its wake, where if there are things that we are justifiably and righteously angry about, the way that we will express that and deal with that, imitating Christ, imitating God the Father, is in a redemptive way. And so it is, what is the sin? What is the brokenness? What is the evil? And how can we bring about and restore what is good in a redemptive way? And so I think that's an important distinction too. If you are addressing something that you are angry about, is your, what is coming out volitionally redemptive and trying to restore and build what is good and just? Or is it, I'm just tearing people down and I don't care how much damage I do. I'm just bringing stuff, burning it down, burning the forest down. So I think those redemptive or destructive, I think, are helpful categories as well, as we think through righteous manifestations of anger and the sin of wrath.
Well, and the beautiful thing about that is I need community for that, right? Like, I need to be around people who can experience both my emotion of anger and sometimes my sin of wrath, and help me go, hey, do you see that you're angry right now? Can we talk about that? I can tell that you're frustrated. What's going on? Mm-hmm. No one can conquer this sin, I don't think, apart from redemptive community, because it's hard to see the manifestations of wrath sometimes and take them seriously for what they are. And it's also hard to feel like I have grace to make mistakes. So I mean, this is a sin that I personally have struggled with over time. And where it's challenging for me is when I don't feel like I have freedom to get angry, then it's even more challenging for me, because I just feel bottled up. Like, well, I am pissed, but I can't act like it, or somebody will, judge me or not give me grace. And so that just doesn't help me actually experience redemption. So part of the beauty of redemptive community, especially in good friendships, is the capacity to say, okay, I'm upset about something, I'm angry about something, and someone going, well, let me enter into that and let's talk about it. What's going on there, and how can we start to sort of discern what's underneath that. That's really helpful. And I think we need to serve one another in that way if we're going to help one another deal with the expressions of wrath that are present in our lives.
John Calvin says this: see whether you can be angry against your brother without burning with the desire to hurt him. And so he's basically giving the two different categories there of anger versus wrath, right? If you cannot be angry with him, then you cannot hate him, for hatred is nothing but sustained anger. Although you dissimulate and try to escape by vain shifts, where there is either anger or hatred, there is the intent to do harm. And so there's a difference there between being angry and sorting that out in a righteous way, and then letting, you know, just sitting in that, letting it work at me to the point where I just want wrath, you know, or where that just manifests itself physically. And so there has to be, in a sense, a controlled anger.
Well, that and Peter Kraft is sort of operating the exact same tradition as Calvin there. In his book, Back to Virtue, he says there are four levels of anger. First, there's the emotion itself, which is neither good nor evil. Second, there is the emotion rightly regulated by reason. Third, there's the emotion overstepping the bounds of right reason. And then finally, there's a stage where anger turns to hatred of God or neighbor. So he's really saying the same thing as Calvin, which is, if you can, if you feel hatred, if you're aware of that sense, that disposition in your soul, then your anger has gone awry. I think we make two mistakes in the Christian community. We either don't think at all about our anger, and so we just put up with sins of wrath, or we sort of use the category of righteous anger because we know that's a biblical category to justify whatever we feel like we want to express. You know, so there's this. There's some people who don't feel at all, or who see anger always negatively. There's other people who use the category of righteous anger to be so, well, I mean, I'm pissed, but it's righteous anger.
It's over the right things. Yeah. You don't care
my
about the right
submit
things.
To me. You need to my care kids aren't obeying me. They're disobedient. They're ungodly.
Yeah, they're also just kids, and you cannot grab them and freak out.
It's interesting to think about the opposite of wrath. Chris and I are both looking at books right now from different authors that contrast the Sermon on the Mount with the seven deadly sins. And most people would say the contrast to wrath would be meekness. And meekness I've often heard defined as strength under control, or even as anger under control. You know, there's a sense that meekness is a restraint of will that says I'm capable of feeling the full range of emotions God made me to feel, but I'm humble and I'm meek, and there's not a need for those to get expressed in sinful ways, selfish ways, self-serving ways. The category, the disposition of meekness is often a helpful contrast. If you're asking, well, what would the opposite of wrath be? If I struggle with the sin of wrath, what virtue, positive virtue, do I need to cultivate? It's the virtue of meekness. It's the virtue of gentleness. The capacity to feel deeply and yet not express selfishly. We've said the emotion of anger is different than the sin of wrath. The sin of wrath is sort of that sinful expression or willful furthering of anger. Chip Dodd talks about anger's impaired states, which he says are depression and pride. This is what anger looks like when it's impaired, when it's not developed well, when the emotion is not felt to the level that it should be. His reason for saying that is he says depression pushes passion back into the heart, and pride denies vulnerability. So because anger is vulnerable, because if I'm angry, you can see that I'm angry. Pride would just not want that to be present. Depression, I don't think he's using depression in the way that we oftentimes do, but what he's saying is depression is sort of it's a pushing of passion back into myself to where I don't want to be expressive and caring about something deeply. It's not that I don't care, it's that I sort of am turning that within.
Well, I think it's just important to be asking the question reflectively, why am either one of two camps, either why am I so angry all the time? And then how do I get that anger under control in a righteous way? Or the other side of that question is, how come I've never been angry? Like, what am I actually passionate about? and what do you need to come alive to? And you should be doing that in community along the way.
In summary, gentlemen, feel the emotion of anger deeply and fully as God intended you to. Repent of the sin of wrath and cultivate the virtue of meekness.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's conversation. We invite you to join the conversation we had today on Twitter at Coram Deo Omaha. And we'll talk to you again next Wednesday on the Wednesday Conversation.